There is no place I'd rather be than in His presence. Thank you for joining us today for our weekly devotional thought. And now, our host, Essie Johnson.
Welcome to In His Presence. Today, we join with Resurrection Power, Church of God in Christ, in Gahanna, Ohio, in their morning worship.
Your wonderful son, Jesus, who came and died on the tree, who died for our sins, who rose for our justification. And on this day, we bless the name of the Lord. We thank Him for loving us. We thank Him for choosing us. We thank Him for writing our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we are eternally saved. And we're not going to hell. And our household shall be saved. And our children's children shall be saved. And our bodies shall be healed. And our business shall prosper. We thank You, Lord God. We thank You for the health. We thank You for the wealth. We thank You for shifting our mindsets. You have called us to be the head and not the tail, the lender, not the borrower. We thank You this day for the praise that You birthed in our souls. We thank You, Lord. I have a right. I have a reason to praise You. When I think of Your goodness and all that You are doing and have done and will do, my very soul cries out, hallelujah. God, I thank You. God, I praise You. God, I worship You now for breaking yokes in this house. In the name of Jesus, Satan, we come against every plot, every plan that You have rigged up against God's people. And we come to bring cancellation. We come to shut it off. We come to say, not so, not today, not tomorrow. It will not happen in this house. In the name of Jesus. And if you stand on that promise, can you just give God a praise for knowing that it's already done? Come on, somebody say, it's already done. Come on, it's already done. If He does not preach, it's already done. My God, it's already done. It's already done. Come on, release that praise. Come on, release that praise. Praise Him in advance, because it's already done. I believe that. I stand on that. I praise God in that. My God.
Praise the Lord.
Come on, come on. It's already done. It's already done. Come on, just bump somebody and say, you can relax now because it's already done. Come on. Come on, tell that person, check your blood pressure now because it's already done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me turn your attention quickly here to the book of Exodus. And there are some other greeters coming to greet us before it's over. So let's look here in Exodus. My wife and I was talking the other day about young adults. How there's a need for the church to spend more time discipling people. Mother Apollonia, not just getting people saved, but we say we should spend time and disciple people. just disciple people. So I said, Jeannie, why don't you just, let's do this. Let's just sacrifice the time. It's going to take effort. But it's too many people saved, and they're not being discipled. They're not being discipled. They're just saved, love the Lord, but they go through life never touching on their true calling. So give God a hand, pray for Sister Culver. She's going to, in Exodus 2. But in Exodus 2, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly boy, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him for an ark. She took him for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the boy therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood after afar off, to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maiden walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw this little boy. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, take, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she should nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. I'm going to skip to verse 10 for the sake of time. And the child grew and brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. She said, because I drew him out of the water. But just looking at this text, Moses should not have been here today. Moses should have died, Jones, long time ago. But the reason why he did not die is because God had a plan for his life. By all means, Moses should have been aborted, because the king said, what I want you to do, I want you to save all of the Hebrews' daughters. Come on, somebody. Amen. But if there's a male child, I want you to throw him in the river. In other words, let him die. But the very place where Moses were thrown into to die, God rescued him out of a place that was designed for him to die. And that's just what God does. God rescues us out of places that have been designed for us to die. He doesn't change it. He lets you get into place, but because he is who he is, he's able to let you get in a sticky situation and then rescue you because of who he is. This morning, I just want to give you a brief word of encouragement. In this subject, Lisa, a call to consolation. Come on, somebody say, God has called me into consolation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1 and 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who the God of the Father of mercies and the God of what? All comfort. He is considered in this verse the God of all comfort. Verse 5 says that we that have suffered for Christ's essence, the same suffering we go through, by Christ, we are also what? Consoled by him. So God doesn't just let believers suffer. He allows us to be consoled by him as well. God wants to bring consolation to his body. Believers have to have a life of joy. He does not want us sad. He does not want us depressed. He wants his people to have a life of joy. He wants believers to live in a state of joy. And the only way this can happen is this. Believers must first understand God. And when I say understand God, there's one thing that God wants to show us this morning, and I want you to catch it. And that is, God wants us to understand his power of providence. You know, Jeannie allowed me to name both of my daughters, Sister Carter, Carice, the oldest, and Providence, the youngest. And as I was praying about Providence, when she was carrying Providence, the Lord just spoke to me and said, name her Providence. That's the name, Providence. And so, listen to me. Providence is God's faithful and guidance care over everything which he has made toward the end which he has chosen. You got to catch this. When you say providence, you're simply saying that God foresees very things, and because he foresees them, by implication, he goes ahead and make preparation. And because God has already looked out over your life, he sees exactly all of the details. He sees all of the demons. He sees all of the situation. He sees all of the adversities, and he goes before you and he makes provision for what you have to deal with. He doesn't change your condition, but he makes provision for you in your condition. So when you look at this story in Exodus, you see God seeing that he wants every male child dead, but I'm going to go before and touch the Hebrews women that they're not going to get rid of their sons. Now listen to me carefully. There are many of you, and I heard you say it. You say, well, you got to trust the process. Just hear me, Nick. I don't know about that, Cameron. And I'm kind of slow to join a bandwagon of people talking because it sounds good. You went to a conference and you heard it and you want to bring it back to the church, and everybody here got to listen. You got to be careful. God does not want you to trust the process. Now listen to me carefully. God has not called us to trust a process. He called us to trust the processor, not the process. The process are events that's happening in your life. And God does not want you trusting events. He wants you to trust the one who manipulates the events, who orchestrates the events, who puts the events in place. So let's never say no more that he wants me to just trust the process. I don't trust the process. I trust an intelligent being who's able to manipulate and demonstrate and navigate and make sure that I get to the place where I should go in spite of what happens to me. So we're not called to trust the process, but we're called to trust the processor. God orchestrates Moses' life. He says, I know that it is the devil's intent to kill you, but I would not allow that to happen because I have a plan for your life. Listen, when you look at this text here in the book of Exodus, it was clear that the devil understood who Moses was. And because he understood him, he says, if I can kill him early, his future would never come to pass. And there are some of you that are sitting in these pews right now. You are only alive because God has a purpose for your life. Otherwise, you would have been wiped out. But because God has a plan for you, you are sitting here now. Listen to me. Wherever there is a pulse, there's a plan. And if there's a plan, there's a purpose. And if there's a purpose, there's power for you to fulfill that purpose. You cannot die if God is working on you. Come on, can I say it again? You cannot die if God is working on you. I'm going to say it one more time for you that didn't get it. You cannot die if God is working on you. There's a few things here. Proverbs 19 and 21 says that there are many devices in the heart of man. Nevertheless, the counsel of God that shall stand. Now listen to that verse carefully. There are many plans in your enemy's mind. However, God says, pay that no mind. Only my counsel that shall stand. Now the question becomes, what is counsel? Counsel is a fixed purpose. It is God's fixed purpose. Listen to me. God has established a purpose in your life, and it's stronger than the wind that's blowing contrary against your life. You are existing now because God, from your mother's womb, he dropped in you a purpose, and he stands over you, and he tells the devil, I'm going to make sure that that person comes into fulfillment of their purpose.
Please share your comments on this broadcast at InHisPresence@NoneLikeHimAnywhere.org.